It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 481. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeNationNet. We also have the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, the audio, the show notes. That's a great resource for the Mike Tech Show. This show's topic is dedicated to the ransomware infection CryptoLocker. I have personal experience with this infection with a client a week ago Monday, where Ken, my senior consultant who works with me, and I did battle. And I'm going to share my observations on this infection. There's been a lot of information that's been posted out there, but I'm going to give you a slightly different take on this. Before we get started, Instant House Call is the best service for remote support. And a feature that I want to talk about right now is you never need to schedule an appointment. Your customer can grant one-time access and open a time window that lets you in at your convenience. And you can also set unattended mode. Your client can click on an option to leave Instant House Call in unattended mode so you can always connect at your leisure, at any time. This is great for your big clients, your regular client that you might have a contract in place that you support them, and this way you can log in at any time. You can start providing remote support with Instant House Call today by trying it out free for 15 days by clicking on the link at miketechshow.com. Right on the left-hand side of the website, you'll see the big ad for Instant House Call. Click on that and then fill out the information for your free trial and enter the promo code MikeTechShow. Let's begin with this Monday morning. I'm at a client doing some work, and I receive a phone call from another client telling me their main software, they have a program called CMS that they use, and it's not working. This is where they put all their orders in for their company, and it won't work. They can't access the database. They're having trouble, and they were on the phone with support for CMS, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. So I'm getting pieces of information and I'm talking to my client. Another employee at the same company, and this is a small company of five users, he sends me a text message of a picture of what his screen is displayed, and it's the CryptoLocker screen that says your system, all of your files, all your data files are encrypted, and it's now asking for money to have your files unencrypted. I see that screen in the text message, and I tell my client, I said, I think I know what's going on. I'm going to call you back. I call the other employee, and I say, shut your computer off right now. I want you to hit the power button, hold it in. I want it shut down, and I want you to go underneath your desk and unplug the network wire. Up until this point, I've only read stories about CryptoLocker, but I've never had hands-on experience. On my way, I finish up with the one client, and by the way, I call back my client that initiated the phone call with me, and I said, I think I know what's going on, but I'm heading out to you so I can evaluate everything. For the time being, I would like everybody to shut off their workstations. I want everybody to shut off because I don't know, are others infected? I don't know if the files on the server are infected. I pretty much guess. I've read about this and what CryptoLocker does. Unbeknownst to the user, when you are infected, the payload is delivered via an email or you open up something, you open up an attachment, you download something from the internet, and it's running in the background, encrypting your data files, and then it starts attacking your mapped drives. If you have a backup drive connected, it'll start looking for files there that it can encrypt. Any mapped drives to any servers, so anything that's attached to that computer or linked from that machine that's infected, it starts encrypting those files. Once it's done its damage, it then changes your background so you can't get rid of it unless you change your background, and it puts the message up that this is what you need to do in order to unencrypt your files. And it holds all your files at ransom. And there's no way you can unencrypt the files. You could have a supercomputer for years and years banging away trying to find that encryption, and it's not going to happen. You can't unencrypt it. We'll get to what the solutions are in a couple seconds. So now I'm heading there, and on my way, I decide to call Ken, who's working with me, and I want to discuss things because I have like a 45-minute drive from where I was at my client in the morning. And as I'm heading there, I got some time to chat about this. And we just don't know what I'm walking into. And so one of the things, I like bouncing off ideas with someone. Ken says, Mike, it might be an imitation CryptoLocker. We don't know that they're really infected yet. Until I get there, until I try to access files, I kind of had a sense because one of the other employees, not the one infected, but another one, was trying to bring up Excel documents from the server and they wouldn't open. So I kind of went in with the thought, I think I know what's going on. I think, you know, this person was really infected with CryptoLocker. It's encrypted all of his files, and it's encrypted all the files that he was mapped to, all of his mapped drives, to the server. When I get there, I turn on his computer and present it with the screen, and I try to open files. They're encrypted. I go to the server, and I try to open some files on the server, and they're encrypted. I go to workstations, and I check each workstation quickly. They don't appear to be infected, but their map drives to the server. They try to open up a file. It's encrypted. I sit with the owner and go over options immediately. And I said, these are your options. This one was asking for $300 where you buy a money pack or Bitcoin. And when you go purchase those cards and you put the information in and you basically pay the ransom, it could take up to a couple days for this whole process to work. And you have a time limit where there's a countdown happening on the screen that you have to respond within a certain time or you're not going to be able to unlock your files. I didn't even ask the owner if he was going to consider paying the ransom because we had good backups. Their server and all the files on the server are backed up every single night with Shadow Protect on that server. This is Windows Server 2008. Yes, he spent $1,000. That's the list price for the software. And I know we're getting successful backups because every night I receive an email telling me whether it succeeded or failed. And this is a Monday. They don't do any work on Saturday and Sunday. So we're looking at Friday and Thursday. So the question is, when did this enter? And it probably entered on Friday. I'm having a conversation with the person infected, which, by the way, is the son of the owner. And we're talking, and he says, Mike, I think I know when this happened. I received a very strange email from admin at and their domain, and they have hosted email. As a matter of fact, it's GoDaddy that hosts their email. He said, it kind of looks strange, and there was an attachment, and he opened it. And he opened and executed the attachment, and that was the payload. Done. That was happening Friday afternoon. It was churning and burning all weekend. What it would do is it would encrypt every single file. So the question was, what did they do on Friday? And can it be easily replicated? Can they easily reproduce the work that they were doing on Friday? Because I need to now check Friday night's backup and Thursday night's. And I'm very concerned about Friday night's backup because if those files are encrypted on Friday, well, guess what? The backup's going to back up the encrypted files. So going back to Friday night is no good. I mount the backup from Friday night and I try to open a couple of the Excel spreadsheets and they're infected. They have four or five map drives with lots of gigs of files. I said, let's map Thursday night and see if we can open them. I open up Thursday night, no problem. So we know when the infection came in. We actually know how, and I'll talk about that later, investigating that a little bit. So now I need to tighten up the process. I need every workstation visited. I need to make sure that right now we've only had conversations about Malwarebytes Pro, but we didn't install it on every desktop. I want to make sure that every desktop is fine. But I'm also in the process of, I got to start the restore of all these files, and that's going to take a couple hours. So I call Ken, and I say, Ken, what are you doing? Can you head out here? And I give him the address. He's not far away. He comes out. I said, start hitting every workstation and give me kind of a recon on each workstation and let's make sure that every workstation's okay. I blow away the directories, not the share, but all the files under each share. So we got five shares that are the main files that this user was mapped to, and I delete all those files. I mount the backup from Thursday night from Shadow Protect, and I start copying those files share by share over to the directory. Some of them were fast, only took a couple minutes. The larger directory with the user files, which is the backup of their desktop files, I know that there was a successful backup of all their desktops because I have SyncBack running on every desktop every night backing up to the server. And then that gets backed up by Shadow Protect. So you see where I'm going here with this. You have to have not good backups. You got to have great backups. And you got to know that they're backing up. And you have to test restores and guarantee that you are backing up all of your files and you're backing them up every night. This is the only way here. Yes, you could pay the ransom. And you know what? There are stories and there's links that I'm going to share that successful where, hey, people have paid the money and you know what? It unencrypted their files. That's wrong. I won't do it. I won't pay the ransom. I'm going to have good backup procedures that I can restore my files. Bring it on. Hit me with any infection. That's the moral of this story. We don't need to be afraid of these ransomware viruses because we got great backup procedures in place for ourselves and our clients. And that's how we fight this. Let's get back to the story. I'm now restoring everything and copying it. As that's going along, the only thing that my client is really concerned with is his contacts and calendars, and he has very large PST files. One of the things I do, before I blow away his user files, I take and copy his very large PST files. And this is an interesting part of this, the story here with CryptoLocker, because CryptoLocker, if you take a look at all the extensions that it encrypts, PSTs are part of this. And I could prove it because when I was on his computer, I put a USB stick connected to the computer and I needed to export his calendar. I wanted to make sure that I got his calendar, the latest, greatest calendar, and exported that to a file. I could not read that PST file. And I can't say for certain, but I think his very large PSTs, where I was able to successfully marry those PSTs to another computer. We were very fortunate that they had one extra computer for a new user, which actually started today. And that computer was brand new and set up. I was able to give that to the user who was infected and basically set it up for him. I copied his PST files that were possibly infected. And you know, they started up right away. He had no problem. So his multi-gig PSTs that he was currently using were not encrypted. Very interesting. We were able to read those PST files. But when I tried from the infected system to export the calendar to my PST, guess what? I couldn't read that. Something else that I learned a little later, I had some document files on that USB stick. They were encrypted. So I have files that got encrypted on the USB stick. Excel spreadsheets, some Word documents. And this is what it's really attacked because that is the blood and guts of everybody's data. Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, and this is where they attack this first. Someone mentioned in the chat, I really like this. We do not negotiate with terrorists. That's our government position. You know, we don't negotiate with terrorists. I believe in that. If you give in to this, all we're going to do is make it where everybody thinks this is an easy way to make money. And we're going to encourage this kind of infection. And we don't want to encourage this. Because we can basically thumb our nose at them and say, you know what? I can redo my system. I can restore my files. No problem. Once I get these files all restored, my client is very, very happy, very, very grateful. I restored first the CMS program and the data from Thursday. We called CMS. I was working with their tech support. They were able to re-download and reconstruct very easily all of the orders that were processed on Friday. My client lost nothing. Nothing. Something I disagree with. Britech has done a great video. His videos are really good about infections and viruses and tuning, and he has done a video on CryptoLocker. Two things that he goes over that I want to give you an alternate opinion on. One, he shows how to just remove the infection and then continue on. I completely disagree with that. If you are infected with this kind of an infection, of a ransomware infection, I believe in a total wipe of your computer. If you have a legitimate product key for your operating system, you have your software, I want you to do a complete wipe of that computer. A great question in the chat. Uncle Al asks, how many hours to restore did it take? You know what? I was only on site for 4 hours, and there was an additional 2 hours, or actually maybe only another hour after I left, where the biggest 85 gigs of files were being copied over. So I was able to remote back in and see that that was successful, and it was only an additional hour. If you want to think about it, when I was on site, I had CMS, their main software, up and running in a half hour. They were in business and able to process and take orders in a half hour. Now, they didn't have access to all their other data files that were still restoring. Let's back up a little bit. My meeting with the owner, I wanted to know what is the priority. After I told him what the solution's going to be, I wanted to know what is the priority of restoring the files. And he said, CMS first, and then he pointed to each directory and we ranked them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So they're the ones I copied first. I made sure all of them in the order that the owner dictated in a priority. So everybody was pretty much up and running within a couple hours. And then the biggest section of files was really all their backups of the files. And the only one that really cared about that was the person that was infected. And I got him up and running in minutes by just giving him this other computer and getting his Outlook up and running. And as long as he had internet access, Outlook, and access to that CMS software, he was fine. So everybody was productive on Monday afternoon. Now, I do not believe in just disabling this kind of infection. I want you to consider doing a total system wipe. A couple things. Foolish IT did a great job in putting together in writing a program, Crypto Locker Prevention. Here's my one problem with this. It's only blocking files from the app data directory and temporary extracted EXEs. What if Crypto Locker or anything morphs and they put the payload from your downloads directory? How about the root directory of C? What if they create a directory and then put the payload in that directory? Are we going to stop all executables? I know we're focusing on just one variant, and don't think that just because you put this Crypto Locker Prevent program that you're clear and free and that, shoo, I'm never going to get infected from this. That's wrong. You can still get infected, because do we really believe that they're not going to change the infection and where they're going to put dump the payload into which directory? You know, this is okay, this program, but it's just a temporary minor fix. Do not be lured into that this program is going to completely prevent ransomware from infecting your computer. It's going to stop one particular strain of CryptoLocker at that moment in time. Do we really think that they're not going to be intelligent enough to change this? That's why backups. There has been successful restores using Shadow Explorer in being able to recover older versions of your files, but you have to have that feature turned on. Not everybody has that turned on. That's a great thing to go to if you don't have backups, but you can't guarantee that you're going to be able to go back. And what if you can't go back far enough past what's been encrypted? Because remember, the shadow copy, not to be confused with shadow protect, the shadow copy built in to the operating system could be backing up multiple encrypted versions of those files. So there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to invoke, you know, download Shadow Explorer. I think it's a great option, but it's not the end all. Don't be lured in to the simplicity of being able to remove this infection and go to Shadow Explorer and recover your files. If you're lucky enough for that to happen, okay. But don't think that that recovery procedure should be done in lieu of you having good backups. Now, we got to talk about backups for a minute. Because if you did a file backup, like using SyncBack, game over. If you have a drive, connect it, and that backup is on there, and they're just file backups, guess what? Bye-bye. Your backup files are encrypted. You need a cold backup. A drive that is not connected. That's why one drive connected to your computer doing backups is not good enough. You need to rotate them. You need multiple drives, and you need a drive that's not connected. Cloud backup, but you can't be mapped. If you have a mapped drive to your cloud backup, guess what? Goodbye. Those files are encrypted. You need to make sure that you have a program that's backing up your files in a proprietary format that is also encrypted. And I know I keep pounding away at Shadow Protect. They are not a sponsor. I make nothing on recommending that. Don't mistake my passion for a successful product as an ulterior motive behind this. I recommend what works, what I believe in, and what I've seen work, and that I've seen be successful. And guess what, folks? I have been successful with my consulting company because I have great backups for my regular clients. And I recommend that backup, and it just flat out works. And I've now been able to recover from disaster. From a disaster. This company could have been out of business because of losing all of their data and their files, but they weren't because we had a backup. You know, I had a story about the dental office where their main X-ray machine crashed. No X-rays. Do you know in 2 hours, I had another desktop and Shadow Protect and Steward. They were up and running. They lost nothing. And they were able to take X-rays. This is an orthodontist they make their living on. They have to be able to X-ray their patients for their teeth. They would have been, again, out of business with that one machine. Everybody needs to take a hard look at what is mission critical to your operations, whether it's at home, your business, your clients, friends, family, relatives. You got to take a look at that and ask yourself, can every file be destroyed on this and I never have access to it again? And if it does, how do I recover? How do I go about going to an easy recovery where I can just restore my files and I'm up and running? That's the message here. So this way we never have to be worried about it. Now, how does an infection like this come in when we have Malwarebytes Pro running? We got Microsoft Security Essentials, or maybe we have Avast running, or who knows? Nothing. There is no program in the world that can stop a human being from opening an email attachment. Sorry, just not happening. Again, nothing can stop a human being from being presented with an option coming from a website and clicking yes and agreeing to something and letting it run. Common sense has to be prevailed here. You have to use some common sense. You can't open attachments, and this is the same old story. I've been preaching this for years and years and years. You cannot open attachments or emails from someone that you don't know or someone that you're not expecting that email from. You just can't do it. If it looks strange, delete it. Now, I got an interesting problem. I get a lot of email from clients, and you know what? I know all of you that has been infected, because I get those emails, you know, that sends out to your distribution list. I see it where there's a funky link and it says, oh, check this out. I'm not going to click on it. I know it's an infection. If it's properly sculpted, the email message where it says, hey, Mike, I listened to your show. Here's a recommendation for this, boom, 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 and there's some verbiage around it. Sure. Now I'll link on it. I'll look at it. But if I just see a random link and say, oh, look, I seen this or check this out, I know you've been infected. Your email distribution list has been pumping out mails to, and I get them because my email is in your distribution list. So I see that. I don't open them. You got to use some common sense. What did we learn here? There are options where you can try to recover and you can try to, you know, use that Shadow Explorer to get back older versions. But I only recommend that if you don't have a backup. Now, how did I remove the infection and successfully export my user's calendar? Well, while we had the system caged, I'll call it, with the angry animal crypto locker in its connected, but not to my network. I plugged in the monitor, mouse, and keyboard. CombiFix actually removed it. I ran CombiFix. It let me run it. It wiped out the infection, and I rebooted the system, but I still don't trust the system. This is one of those infections where I don't care if it looks like it's gone. I don't even want to mess around. And I told my client, we're not even messing around here. I'm wiping it. Okay. So I brought it home and wiped it and reinstalled Windows and set it up for the new user who's actually starting today. And you know what? I did not get a phone call for anything for that user because I set it up perfectly. I was there yesterday testing the software and making sure that CMS software and everything that they needed access to, it's all working perfectly. What I wanted to make sure is that I was able to successfully export his calendar. And once I wiped CryptoLocker from the system using CombiFix, I was able to launch Outlook and export his calendar to a USB stick. I then uploaded it, went on to his system, downloaded it after I remoted in, and then, and it wasn't that big of a file, and then I was able to import it into his calendar, and he didn't miss anything. There was nothing, not one appointment lost. Something that I did notice that even when CombiFix removed the infection, the background was still there. We had to change the background to get rid of the bitmap that was listed giving instructions on how to make the payment. How do we make sure that it's prevented? And the question came up again, and I knew this was going to be asked. Why didn't Malwarebytes Pro stop the infection? He didn't have Malwarebytes Pro installed. And I don't think this client will ever disagree with me again. It's interesting that I said, look, this is how much Malwarebytes costs on all your workstations. And he was like, yeah, you know, well, I don't think he's ever going to make that decision again. So Malwarebytes Pro wasn't on it. He was just running Microsoft Security Essentials. No, I don't believe that's strong enough to stop the attachment. I have a bigger question, and the owner of this company is contacting GoDaddy. Why was this email even passed through? Why wasn't this attachment cleaned? Taking a look at antivirus of email and spam, you might want to look into alternatives and services that are cloud-based, that are scanning all of your emails for any kind of infection and ripping it out before the message is delivered and actually eradicating the infection by removing that attachment. And then it says, okay, this attachment was moved, or at least removing the attachment, quarantining the message, and then you get a message that maybe weekly or daily of these are your messages that are quarantined. I'm not familiar with GoDaddy's anti-spyware, malware, antivirus removal process for their mail being scanned. I think Google does a better job because they bought the Postini product, which is just world class. It's why Google bought them. I have experience with Postini going back years and years. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful product, but it's no longer available for you to purchase anymore because now it's just part of the Google email ecosystem that they've incorporated it, and they don't sell those services anymore. I'm actually going to give a thumbs up to a product that you're going to be shocked. McAfee actually has a very good email filtering service out there. And it doesn't mean you got to have the McAfee antivirus, which I don't like, and all that other stuff, but they actually have an independent, it's just they bought the company. They have a very good mail. It was, I think it was MX Logic, and it was purchased by McAfee. And that's a very good virus removal from emails and spam blocking. And it's cloud-based. Depending on how big your company is and how much money you want to invest, you should consider cloud-based email filtering before your email gets delivered if you're hosting it yourself on your server. Or if not, start taking a look at who is your mail client, because we need better protection there and stop it from even reaching your desktop. So let's stop it at the point before it even reaches your network. Then have a layered approach. Have Avast or ESET or Sophos for your antivirus. Malwarebytes Pro actively running. And you know I believe in Woot for protecting you from searching to at least stopping the, you know, going to an infected site. It helps. Is it the end all? Is it going to stop everything? No. And even if you arm yourself with all of these things, what do you have to have? And everybody listening to this should collectively say, a good backup. That's it for tonight. Next week's show, I will dedicate to email. Keep sending me your email and your thoughts on all of this. I have a big stack, and that is going to be next week's show. I am going to catch up on all of that great email. And that's it. Please, if you enjoyed this show and you want to help support this show, use my Amazon link. If you buy from Amazon or you know anybody buying from Amazon, go to amazon.micnation.net. There, your price is the same, but a small commission comes back and helps support the show. It's a great way to show your support, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for downloading and staying subscribed. I really appreciate it. And remember, backup. Have a good backup solution in place for your systems. That's it. I'll talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.